Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Operation Earth, comedians chatting about climate change. I am Dr. Matt Winning. I'm an environmental researcher and stand-up comedian. I've been doing both of those for over a decade now. Basically, what I used to do was do comedy to kind of lighten my mood and tried not to think about the impending doom of the planet. But now I think it's time to talk about it and actually address it head on. So every week I have a different special guest and we chat about news stories. We will go through a carbon footprint calculator, see how green they are. Basically, like in Top Gear, where, you know, they have like who's the fastest celebrity, we're going to find out who the greenest one is. It's basically a podcast for people who care about our climate emergency but aren't doing much about it. This is for you.
Presented by Dr. Matt Winning.
So this week's episode is with two people. It is with Joel Dommett and Steve Dunn, who are friends. They've got a podcast themselves, which is super, called Teenage Mixtape Pod. They used to have another podcast called The Comedy Score. And Joel is a stand-up comedian, has been for quite a while now. He did I'm a Celebrity, a lot of people probably know him from that. There's lots of other stuff he's done. And Steve, I kind of got to know through Joel, sort of, but also through various other stuff in comedy and music and various friends. We both like a lot of the same. In fact, Steve and I have pretty much the same top two albums of all time. This is me talking to two very funny men about climate change.
There was this mad documentary about how we export all of the plastics out to like China, and so the amount that you spend on, you know, recycling is then just like the travel of making all of it, getting all of it out of our goddamn country is like essentially equivalent of not doing it in the first place.
Yeah, pretty spot on.
Right.
I think we should start with that. We'll just have
Joel
explaining
much, Matt.
That at the start. And it's time to go home. See you guys later. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Steve has just done the carbon footprint calculator and has come out at 23.8 tonnes. Bit of a footprint there.
It's a bit
mate.
Of a footprint, isn't it?
And that's about, it says it's 245%. Bigger than the 2020 sort of UK target that
so
they want to get people down to.
So that's 245% of the target, not of the world average?
No, the world average is something like, I don't know, like 5 or something. I need
oh
to
God,
check
really?
That. But yeah, no, I mean, it's that's of like what
world
a
average.
UK person would be reasonable for right. A UK person, so you're already like...
Yeah, oh, that's good. Now we're going to the wheel.
Here we go.
Oh,
wheel.
The wheel,
so,
travel.
The pie chart is yes. A real...
Oh, no.
I'm going to show you my pie chart as well, because I did it this morning.
Oh, wow.
And it's same. Basically the same.
What was yours? 25 point...
It's, yeah, oh, I don't know.
What's the middle? It says right in the middle.
Oh, 25.9, yes.
25.9. Oh, so yours is ever so slightly higher than
it's
Steve.
Yes. It's because I...
It's because of your hair product.
It's my hair. Nah.
It's just that there's probably a ton of moisturizers that goes into that.
Every day. It's like shoes and moisturizers just to outdo yep. Steve.
So Joel spends a lot on clothes, which came up in the questionnaire.
Yes.
But he does recycle them and he just gives them to me, which is why I spend no money on clothes.
Yeah.
So
you're benefiting from his.
So in a way,
yeah, you're splitting it between you.
He is recycling.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm actually really good for the environment. There you go, because I give everything to Steve.
Steve. One day Steve will give it to his son and
yes.
Continue the cycle.
Totally.
So, although you've just had a kid, so maybe on the balance of things... I don't know.
We're clawing it back.
We're getting there.
You two are out-competing each other to see who's got the highest carbon footprint at the moment.
It's so... Essentially, None of it matters because we fly to Australia.
Yeah. So if we look at the carbon footprint calculator, almost three quarters of both of your carbon footprints are travel.
Yeah.
Is that right? Was yours the same?
Yeah. If not more, yeah.
So like, yeah. And then the rest of it's like your house and food is like 10% of yours, Steve, and stuff. Like you don't have much stuff. But yeah, basically if you take more than one flight a year, it pretty much, you know, like to the US or something, it pretty much then just dominates your entire like contribution to
it's shit. I mean, yeah, like I've took a lot of flights. Like it's like bad,
but it's hot. But then it's like it's this weird thing that it's become so normal now,
totally.
And it wasn't, say, like there, you know, when we were born, I don't think like
no
people like, just didn't fly
people
very often.
It was like an exciting thing to do, wasn't it? And now you just be like, I've got to drive to Manchester. I just fly, actually. It's quicker. And you don't even think about it in that way.
I think it was interesting when I did that calculator. It's a really amazing thing to do because everyone is constantly on about recycling. It's like recycling, renewable energy, recycling, recycling, recycling. But we all take flights, but nobody ever suffers a consequence of flying. No one ever thinks of the consequences of flying. No, nobody ever gets on a flight and thinks like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this because I've taken three flights already this year. Like I obviously knew, I'm not stupid, but
you don't understand the context of it or the size of the impact of it compared to doing other stuff, because it's not like people don't focus on it very much or anything like that. I was trying to do a new bit in the show, my new show, about how trying to make flying like cigarettes by putting like warning labels on the side of planes.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know how you'll fit like 200 million climate refugees on the side of a Boeing 747.
That's funny. Another really interesting thing, I don't know whether this is bullshit or not.
Yeah.
I was told that the new house that I've moved into is the most eco-friendly house in the UK.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
But it has to be bullshit.
Who told you that?
It has to be bullshit.
Like, I would entertain that if they said it's in the top 10. But
yeah, it's like such a teenage thing.
It's just like, I've got the biggest dick in the world.
If you said top 10. Yeah.
I've actually got the biggest penis in the UK. Like, come on, mate.
Maybe England and Wales, but come on.
So two questions, right? How new is the house?
So the house is brand new.
Right, okay, so slight, potentially believable. And B, who told, just...
The guy who built it said it. And
that makes it less believable.
I think so as well. But he... basically, the reason being, it's got like solar panels, so it's all that stuff.
That's cool.
But it's a Swedish log home, right? So it's like, it's kind of like the studio. It's like bare wood everywhere.
It feels like a sauna.
Yes.
But not as.
So we've like painted a lot of the walls, which is apparently not what you're supposed to do, but we couldn't live in the sauna. So we've painted a lot of the walls. But so it's got the thick, and it's so dense, this wood. Like you try and drill into it to put a picture up or something, and it's just like, it's
concrete.
So it's insane.
Right. Wow.
And usually in Sweden, where it's obviously very cold, they just have the wood and that is enough. And they say they sometimes have a fire inside, but you don't really need it because it's so warm in there, so insulated. But because of the building regulations in the UK, and they've never really seen these houses before, there's only like five in the UK or something. So they don't really know how to deal with it. So the building regulations, they say, they treat it like a normal house, and they say you've got to have this amount of insulation on top of it. And so we've got the wood and then the British insulation.
Wow.
And so basically the walls are really thick, and it's genuinely becoming a bit of an issue. We are so hot all the time.
Wow.
Like really hot. And so I don't really think we're going to need much heating.
Yeah.
But like... So we have a very, and then it's the solar panels go straight into everything, so we don't really spend much on our bills. So it's pretty sweet eco-friendly. What I find really funny about this is that I have the most eco-friendly house, the least eco-friendly car in the entirety of the UK. I bought a sweet sports car, and I'll just like have this like solar panels, and then it just like...
just gone. You just,
see you later. Yeah, yeah. Just knocking over my wheelie bins with my perfect recycling.
We need to get a Tesla or something. We need some sort of
I'm gonna swap my car very soon, and I'm genuinely thinking about getting an electric car.
I had someone tweet me after coming to see my show last year as well, and was like, I swapped my car after coming to your show.
Mm-hmm,
I was
that's
a weird impact. That's like, great. As a comedian, to like have the impact of someone like changing what car they have.
Well, I, on the way here today, I went to go and get a coffee, and then went, I haven't brought my cup.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't turn up to this. So then I was like, okay. And then I was like, I'll get a bottle of water. And I was like, I can't do that either. So I think the way to reduce everyone's carbon footprint is to get them all on this podcast all the time.
Yeah. And then they'll think about it. They'll be like, I can't be a hypocrite.
If you had to be on this podcast every day,
you'd think about it all the time.
Yeah.
Unless you live in Australia, you'd have to fly here every day for it. Which
true.
We can just, I need to branch them out. There needs to be
franchise
in Australia and stuff like that. That's a good idea.
Imagine that. There's just podcasts. Everyone is just on this podcast all the time. No one's listening to it.
No. Everyone's just on it.
It's just a solution we discovered.
That kind of does feel like what we're almost at. Like, everybody's just on a podcast all the time. We're not far off it. It just needs to be a sustainability one. On the one hand, you're this sort of, I don't know, it's a conundrum. It's like, on the one hand, you've got this house that's amazing, which I totally didn't know about.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And then on the other hand, it's like the amount of travel and clearly transport's the bit that's...
I mean, it's kind of, I did a travel show. The last 2 years, I've done a travel show. And I've flown around. It's insane the amount of money, to the point even where when we did the last season, we went, because of all of our schedules, I was touring in between. It was something like, went to Argentina, then came back to the UK for 3 days, then went back to Peru. And you're like, oh, they're right next door.
Also, and you went to Japan twice.
Went to Japan twice. Instead of filming both those episodes flew to Japan, flew back, did another couple of episodes, then went back to Japan. It's just basically, I think I've just melted an entire
how many polar
glacier.
Bears do you think Joel is solely responsible for killing?
Quite a few.
On the side of that dead carcass, it's going to say Joel and Nish versus the world.
Should be like, you know, when you're in a new house or something, or when your kids are growing up, you write the increasing
height,
but we could do that with the sea levels and have your name next to the seas rising and be like, oh, Joel wrote his name here, and now Joel's responsible for an extra 3 millimeter.
Funny, that's such a great idea. Be like, oh no, Fred, you've made the sea levels go up a
little
bit.
Oh, so sweet. Yeah.
No dessert for you.
We used to be able to go out this far, but now we've had to build sea defences. Steve, so you did pretty well there as well, but you do a fair bit of traveling too.
Again, that really is what got me, I think. There,
and you've driven, you do a lot of tour stuff together as well.
Yeah, a lot
of
driving, really. Yeah.
So, yeah,
is driving fairly low impact on there compared to flights, really?
As for the same journey, yes.
Yeah, because I drove to Luxembourg the other day. Is that better than if I had flown?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if you're driving, the amount that people drive is what then means that, if you take.
Yeah.
I don't know, say the average person driving for a year is probably double taking a flight to the US, a return flight to the US. But if you take two return flights to the US, it's probably the equivalent of the average person's, passenger mileage in a year or something.
So I should have run to Luxembourg.
Yeah, ideally. Okay. what was happening in Luxembourg?
Yeah.
I went to see Bon Iver.
Nice.
Yeah. So I went to see them twice in 3 days.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
One in London.
Yeah.
You sent us an article before this about festivals.
Yeah.
And I genuinely was thinking about this when we were at that festival. So All Points East in Victoria Park, which is a pretty good one in terms of there was a lot of recycling and things like that. But I was like, oh yeah, this is mental. There's just cups everywhere on the floor.
And yeah.
It is pretty bad, isn't it, a festival?
At least with that one, there's no tents left over.
Yeah.
Yeah. If day festivals are probably actually a bit better and people aren't coming from quite as far away. But yeah, the summer is here. The music festival season is upon us.
Yeah.
Festivals are now becoming a bit aware, it seems like, this year. I think Glastonbury's banning single-use plastics for the first time. And festivals are kind of
been judged quite a lot. This, I think, Download as well, were like, oh, we're doing, they've set up like a Greenpeace tent and stuff.
Part of me, I've read that article again, and it's that a lot of them were just mentioning, like, this year we're doing a big impact, we're gonna be so renewable, no straws.
Yeah.
I just feel like straws are taking a lot of the rap for this.
Yeah,
it is. And also, like, this is the thing, like, people keep going, like, it's hard because, you know, I don't want to ruin the environment, but those paper straws are really annoying. And it's like, yeah, but straws are stupid anyway.
Yeah.
I don't...
Why don't you use your lips?
You've got a mouth.
Yeah.
Like, some people need them. Like, I agree that there's, like, some people need straws. They should be allowed straws. Everyone that doesn't need a straw shouldn't...
I feel like it's a really funny idea of... This is a great sketch. The idea of someone, like, taking away someone's straw because it's plastic, and then them just, like, having no idea how to drink, and then just going at it like a cat and just licking the top of them. like, what?
Dying of thirst.
I've always used a straw.
Are condoms bad?
I mean, I think they probably prevent more of a carbon footprint than they
cause.
Oh,
good point.
So I think condoms are probably actually
in a way they're good.
Really good.
But it's be even better maybe if they were just like paper. Like
I
an
mean,
envelope.
If somebody could design that, yeah, absolutely.
This is a jiffy bag. A jizzy bag.
Yeah. Oh, God.
What about if I have sex with three people at once? Is that better for the environment?
Less travelling, you know.
Yeah, because I'm just constantly door to door, like driving around to all my different honeys.
If they do a ride share to your house, yeah, that's fine. That's great. That's okay. As long as they're not all coming separate. Any other festival stuff? Like washing at festivals? Generally, I don't do it. Yeah.
It's great that that is now environmentally friendly.
Exactly. You've got a reason to do it.
Like, if someone's like, "You, I can't believe you haven't." I mean, I haven't had a shower since Wednesday.
What?
It's Monday right now.
Well, you haven't had one. You just haven't had one.
So I just do that sometimes.
But I think also we both do CrossFit together a lot, and so it's almost like you realize how dirty you can be. When you've been that sweaty.
Yeah, if I haven't exercised, I just don't feel the need to.
I genuinely feel like that way sometimes. Like I didn't change my socks or my pants today because I'm like, well, I didn't exercise yesterday, so I don't need to.
That's good.
It's great that we're so disgusting.
People. Like, people are going to be listening to this going, oh, I kind of like those guys.
When we were on tour, we'd pretty much work out every time we did the show.
Yeah.
And... I mean, we are disgusting people. Like, we would work out, like, really hard, sweating, like, all over the place, and then go, right, we're going to go, and just jump in the car, drive for 4 hours, and then arrive at a venue wearing shorts and T-shirts, stinking, and just being like, all right, guys.
And then just, like, change clothes, and then, like, because by that point, we would always be like, oh, we'll shower at the venue, and then by the time you get to the venue, we'd dried.
Yeah.
Got you.
If you're dry, then power,
we're dry.
Deodorant.
Fine. Yeah.
I guess with festivals as well, there's a lot from their side of things, from the organisers' side of things, that goes into, like, there must be millions of generators, and I don't know how good generators have become, but I know typically they're not.
Yeah.
It would be like petrol and
petrol,
stuff like that.
Diesel, yeah.
And so like that, because they are, it's like a huge production, especially like the bigger festivals.
Yeah.
It's like, to run one of those stages, it's mental.
Yeah.
And like, also like, you're trucking in like equipment from bands.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I've been trying to look into a little bit of like what bands have actually been doing to offset stuff or like that sort of thing.
Aren't Radiohead quite good?
Yeah. So Radiohead apparently are like really like, they've like, I think they just take buses everywhere.
Yeah.
And like occasionally they'll, rather than like flying between venues, if they're in like, you know, even if it's really far away, they'll like have equipment sent to somewhere else rather than transport and stuff. And then I think Radiohead released, oh no, they just gave out all the stuff for free. There was like a story a couple of weeks ago.
They gave the music out for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
and then
someone
just,
offered like to bribe them.
Someone tried to bribe them that they were going to release it.
Yeah.
So they just gave it out for free, or not for free, but maybe they sold it and then they gave all the money to Extinction Rebellion, like the climate group. Yeah, so Radiohead are pretty into it. And then I found a couple of other ones. Linkin Park supposedly are as well. I was trying to find some details on them.
They were it's the hybrid theory, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I mean, that is the niche joke. Climate change and Linkin Park.
And you can recycle all you like, but in the end, it doesn't really matter.
Yes. Turns out that's what that song was about.
I'd love it if that was what they're singing about.
Oh, nice.
So as a result of us taking flights and stuff,
yeah.
From a knowledgeable man's point of view, so essentially is the worst thing, it's obviously climate change and it's going to be the rising water levels. It's the rising water levels, the impeding danger.
Water and the extra heat around the equator.
Okay.
Mean that everybody in the equator is either going to be struggling or move. Are going to move somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then everyone on coastal areas, they're going to move.
Mm.
So you're going to have like just people moving, having to move. Right. Everybody's going to have to move. And at the same time, you're going to have more intense like storms and wildfires. You know, everything that's bad is going to become
worse.
Yeah. So you're going to have to dealing with all of this while everything's also getting worse.
Yeah.
So essentially, that's what's going to happen. And then, but then there's just so many stuff, like even on like small levels, like I had hay fever in February this year on my birthday. It was the warmest February that the UK's ever experienced on record this year.
I just feel like every year now there is the thing, the warmest or the coldest ever, ever. I hear the word ever every year.
And it is, I saw a thing that was like, you'll obviously know this, the top 10 hottest years on record all took place in the last 12 years or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Easily. So the last 5 years are the 5 warmest years ever recorded since like the dinosaurs were around. You know what I mean? Like for at least 2-3 million years, it's now warmer than it's ever been.
It's always going to be about money. And I think, like, I think electric cars, that could have all happened earlier.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm basing this on nothing, but I think the oil companies are making billions and they're not going to stop that. And I heard things like sort of electric car companies that were doing all right, like the oil companies would buy them up and just be like, hey, do you want £2 million? Here's £2 million. Stop doing what you're doing. Yeah. And they'd be like, okay. It's like, it's always going to be about money.
Yeah.
And now it's like, but it's, like the cool cars are there, are electric. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then it's suddenly it's like, oh, okay.
I mean, it is, and that's the way everything is, isn't it? If you really want, like, they just have to make the ethical choices be the fun ones.
Exactly. Fun, fun and easy.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then
cheap
people are like,
and all those
things, great. And it becomes the normal thing.
Yeah.
Like one, like even just like meals. So one thing that people suggested was like a little nudge would be like, you don't have like a vegetarian option, you have like a meat option.
Yeah.
So
it's like,
so the normal becomes vegetarian, and then it's like you have to ask for the, so it's just switching people's brains to what is like seen as like the normal thing to do. And if the normal thing to do is whatever is you know, the best thing for the planet, then it's all easier.
But it is interesting because I think there's a general sort of accepted notion that you can't change that, as if like people, you know, we all kind of walk around going like, you're not really going to change people. But actually, I think about over the course of my life, I've seen smoking is just not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I mean, you know, not very much of a thing. And it's basically because that worked.
Yeah.
Mm. They just like were like, no more advertising, put like cancerous lungs on the front of the packet. And it's like, oh yeah, now no one does it.
But it feels like they clearly had to go through like a process of fighting for it for like a long
time.
And then after a while, people just are like, well, no, clearly this is a thing. Like, I know someone who did this and got that. You know, like, it's almost like we almost need to, at the same time as like fighting the whoever, you know, the incumbent, the people that have the power that are making money from it, at the same time as that, you also need people to kind of experience it for themselves. And I feel like that's the point we've just started getting to with climate change.
The problem is that
right now it's just like warm weather, which everyone loves.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's like, and even like cold weather when it's snow and everyone's like, oh, it's kind of cool for a week, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It needs to break that wall of becoming like wildfires and stuff, like the stuff in the States and the things like that. You know, like with smoking, where you go like, oh, I know someone who had lung cancer and it's horrendous. Yeah. So that's a good point. At the moment, it's like, well, it's pretty warm.
Yeah.
You know? And it is like, I guess like as a species, we're not very good at thinking long term.
No.
Like, but so that one, that's like the smoking thing is that a cigarette doesn't kill you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Smoking for 20 years very likely can. And so, like, it's really hard when you go back even just 20 years, it's really hard to kind of picture that, because you're like, yeah, I mean, I know it's kind of bad, but, like, I feel fine with that. Yeah, and I think the same thing seems to be the case where you're like, we all know that this is, like, this huge problem that's, like, really big. Like, it could kill us. And it's like, yeah, but it's kind of fine right now.
Yeah.
So I
feel like it hasn't tipped over the edge to like, but it feels like it's
we're on the edge.
Yeah. Like it's just people haven't made that connection, and I think that's the issue.
It's the connection.
I think I'm bad because I eat a lot of meat, and I know that's the other big issue. I think people say it's travel and meat, right? It's like, again, the traveling of that meat and the how it's the processed farming, and the farming of it. And it's like,
you grew up on a farm, so you're just awful.
I'm a terrible human being, but most eco-friendly house in the UK. So come on, guys.
Nice. Then you need to start an eco farm. That's the next thing.
Yes. Great. Yes. Which is a farm with no animals.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, I was reading something yesterday, I think, about how basically people think, we're not really going to have farms in the future, like, in, you know, say 20, 30 years. Basically, it's going to become so cheap to make like lab grown meat. Mm. People are going to be like, well, why would I like build an or like grow an animal that's massive that then you only use so part costly. Of and then you have to feed this and like just go to straight
and then kill
to
it.
Lab. Yeah, and then kill
like,
exactly.
That, cause it. Because it is, I saw an article whenever it was about that, about like that thing, and I was like, yes. Just grow me a steak.
Yeah.
And like, I was talking to my wife and she was just like, no, that's not right. And I was like, you need to get over that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're saying, I'd rather grow an animal, kill it, and eat it, which is bad for the environment, bad for the animal, because you're like, it's a bit weird growing one in a lab, isn't it? That's not a good enough argument.
That's a bit weird. Yeah. You're like, yeah, maybe just grow up here.
But it is like, talking about like how we're on the edge of that change, I think that where you can really see it is how long you've got left in your life. So like, I'm 34 and I am like starting, I've noticed, I'm starting to think about when someone says, in 50 years time when blah, 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 I in my head I go, we might not be here then. That's how I'm thinking about that. And I think about like my own, I thought because I had a baby and I was like thinking about, what if I have grandkids one day? And I was like, well, that time might not come for humans. And I was like, fuck, that's actually really mental that I'm thinking that way. And I think people who are like 18 now are really thinking that way.
Much more than us.
They're amazing.
Even. Yeah.
They're amazingly on it, aren't they? As a generation, they're just like, no, we're going to, the school strikes and like all that stuff that's been happening recently. It's great because they clearly are like, guys, we have to live in this world. You're all going to be dead in a few decades. So,
yeah,
it's us who this is happening.
Exactly. And it's weird because we've all sort of probably had at least like maybe their first 20 years of our life without having to worry about any of that stuff. Yeah. Whereas they're just grown up. They're teenagers. I mean, it's already like being a teenager feels like the end. Everything feels like the end of the world. And then they're actually having to deal with that at the same time. You're like, no, what, like, yeah, if no actually, wonder they're so on it.
They've got something to be emo about.
Yeah, totally. Finally, like, we just did it about, like, oh, I this girl didn't text me back or whatever. And they're
just like, oh, my mum didn't give me a lift into town. Whereas they're actually like, oh, my mum's completely ruined the environment.
My mum just
house
gave
prices.
Me a lift into town.
Just let me walk, Mum.
I'm just trying to walk. Why do you have to take me everywhere?
Tipping points. Tipping points.
Environmental tip of the week. If you do have to take a flight, why not put other people off from flying again by talking to them incessantly? Environmental tip of the week.
Tipping points.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I don't know whether this is in your remit or not, or whether that is even a phrase, but is overpopulation an issue, or is that going to stop? Is that, I feel like that's curving off. Is the population going to go down?
So the problem is that, I mean, I don't think it's a huge issue.
Yeah.
Personally. And I know some people do. I think family planning, like, it's the more family planning and stuff, the better. But most of the extra population increase that's going to happen over the next, up to the end of the century, all of it's going to happen pretty much in Africa and East Asia, where their average carbon footprint of a person is really low.
Mm.
So in my last show, I talked about how I calculated that the average UK person's, if I had a child, like you, Steve just had a child, mm-hmm. it's about the equivalent of like someone in Cambodia having about 20 children.
Wow.
In terms of the impact that they will have, because Western society consumes so much more on average than someone in the developing world. And most of those additional people are going to be in the developing world. And obviously they want to develop, and like the rising middle classes in East Asia and other places, it is going to contribute to stuff, because there's so many of them and a lot of people want Western lifestyles and that sort of thing. So it is kind of an issue, but at the same time, actually reducing the average emissions of the rich people who are responsible for like half of the world's emissions is actually the best way to start, totally. Because then otherwise everyone else is going to copy or want to copy them.
So
you have to make it almost aspirational to have, like a sustainable carbon footprint for people.
That's interesting.
So I sometimes get people being like, "Oh, it's popular. There's too many people in the world," and you're like, "But lots of those people do, you know, extra people contribute absolutely nothing towards this problem." So that's not the case.
Well, I'm just trying to think about how many kids to have.
I had someone the other day, my brother's friend, say, he said, "Oh, you're gonna have to get a bigger car when you have your second and third kid," and I was like, I didn't say I was going to have a second or third kid. And he went, "You have to." I was like, "Why?" And he was like, "It's the best thing in the whole world." He's like, "But," and we were out, and he was like, this will stop, though, going out." I was like, "What are you trying to get me to do here?"
It's the best thing in the whole world.
You
can't do anything.
Yeah, you're going to hate it.
I just feel like people are going to more people are having like no kids. Not feeling the pressure to have kids. I think more people are having one kid and kind of stopping and going, that's fine. I think there's this weird pressure that you will know more about than I will, but it's like, but I feel like everyone's like, "Oh, you've got to have two because you've got to have someone for them to play with." And you're like, friends. Us. Like, it's fine to be like, there's that all that thing of like, "Oh, if you're an only child, then you're like spoiled," and then you I know loads of spoiled kids myself who has a brother. So like, it's just like, it's not a thing, and it's not worth, you know, that thing of some people think they're like, "Oh, you got to stop going out. You're not going to stop doing this. You got to stop having fun. You got to stop having sex. But you got to have two kids." You're like, "Well, I don't do that."
You've just moved to the countryside as well, didn't you say? You grew up on a farm as well, so I guess you're kind of used to...
So grew up on a farm and then moved to London about 15 years ago and lived in sort of various flats. We wanted to go west because we wanted to be closer to our parents for the inevitably sort of having kids in the future.
basically it's the stamp duty thing. It's like the stamp duty, we just can't be bothered to move twice.
It's such a trade-off, because it's like, if you are away, like out in the countryside, right, your footprint is higher because you're having to travel more, right. And you've got a bigger house, so you have to heat, although you probably don't need to heat your house.
Not when you've got the best house in the country.
Yeah, when you've got the single best house in the entire country, you're probably fine.
You pop a candle on and we are sweating out my eyeballs.
And you're just nudists. You're just going to become nudists.
Yeah.
So there's like, obviously there's like the downside to that, but at the exact same time, if you have, at the moment anyway, with when there's still like petrol and diesel cars for like maybe the next 10, 20 years, like if you do have kids, then the air quality is going to be so much better in the countryside. And like cities get really warm because everybody's living together.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. I've been kind of looking into how you get this sort of heat island effect with cities. So like they stay warmer at night. And they don't cool down, and like we're supposed to cool as humans,
right,
at night, because it helps us sleep.
Yeah.
But when you live in cities, and like last summer when it was so hot, the city just can't cool because everybody's in the same place, and all the cement like keeps the heat. So then it becomes harder for people to sleep, and then you get things like increased crime rates and other things like that related to the fact that it's so hotter, nobody's sleeping well, and like there's just such interesting stuff happening. So like in the countryside you get the benefits of like fresher air, you know, like fresher air, and kids need like clean air to be able to grow. So it's just I'm totally having this exact same thing where I'm just like, every time I'm in the countryside I'm like, oh, I should really go to the countryside and live there. But then at the exact same time you're like, but then it's going to be so hard to get everywhere and do stuff.
And in the countryside.
What am I going to do? Like,
I didn't really think about air quality. It wasn't an issue on my mind at all.
Yeah.
But genuinely, every time, and I've grew up in the countryside, so I never really thought about it. But like, every time I go home, I just get off the train and I'm like, it's so nice. And I hate to be that guy who's just like, I moved to the countryside. But for me, it was exactly the right thing at the right time. And I really thought I was going to regret it.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe there's still time to, but it's so great. There's this weird sense, and I think it's the air quality thing.
Yeah.
I think it's also just the thing of like
seeing greenery
all
the time.
Just seeing green, having like a garden. I didn't have that before. But just like not hear the silence, hearing birds, like it's like I couldn't sleep for the first week I moved in there because I could hear birds. And I was like, that's what humans are supposed to hear as other species. Yeah. And it was like, I'm really having a great time. I'm really having a great time.
I was just wondering if like city people have the opposite thing where they go back to the city and they're like, oh yeah.
I do find that I'm more relaxed in a city.
Oh yeah.
I guess because I've never really lived in a particularly quiet place. Even where I grew up wasn't like inner city, but there was a motorway outside my house.
Yeah.
So I guess the air wasn't that clean.
Yeah.
It's
done you no harm.
Yeah. Look at me.
Biggest dick in the UK. Yeah.
It's got weird side effects on the next to a motorway.
But like, yeah, I find that like, because I went to Devon for a wedding last week, and I was like, it's nice. But I find it claustrophobic, weirdly.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Wow.
I think weirdly, what's happened with me is because I used to feel sort of weirdly claustrophobic, but I really loved London, and then I'd have this need to always go back to my parents' house in the countryside, and I would always be like, I really want to get out into the countryside for a bit, and then I'd go to the countryside, and then immediately hate it and want to get back to the city. And you kind of feel claustrophobic with your parents and all of that stuff anyway. And so I think that where I'm living is that weird middle ground where I've kind of been searching for, where it's kind of not the city and it's not the countryside.
Yeah.
Where I'm close to London, if the trains don't cancel, then, you know, and it's like, you're close enough to London and I'm close enough to the greenery. And
this is an interesting thing, actually, I was thinking about the other day. There's been a real shift in the right and left wing in sort of over the course of our lifetimes, where now right wing people are all about the earth in a weird way. Not I don't think in a global warming way, but like I think in the sense that they're like they've become very countrysidey. I think, like, our parents grew up in a time when the left, the very, like, hippie left, were, like, all about, like, tree-hugging and, like, just living in fields and all that. And now it feels like it's flipped, where it's, like, the whole idea of, like, the liberal elites, that's a city thing.
Yeah.
And like...
Yeah.
And there's, you know, you can... In my head, the stereotype of, like, a right-winger is, like, someone who has an allotment. Do you see what I mean? Like, it's,
okay.
I feel like there's actually been a weird change in that way, where they're kind of a bit more like, it's just culturally those things seem to have changed a little bit, and I wonder if that is an opportunity to get them on board a bit, because obviously that side of the spectrum has been harder to convince.
Yeah, this is one of the phrases that's been bandied about on climate change and stuff, but like basically everybody has the values that they need to care about climate change, but it's just communicating to someone on based on what values they already hold. So, but the problem is that I think a lot of the messaging on climate change has been really too left-wing and being kind of from that side. And then in the US, you've got like such an obvious thing where it's been like Al Gore, who was the on that side, and that lots of Republicans hate, has been seen as the face of climate change, and therefore it's totally polarized the issue in a way which it shouldn't do, and it shouldn't be a left or right thing. It should just be like
this thing
that's happening, and then it's like you've got different ways of responding to it. You know, the right or the left might be like, oh, we should, you know, one might be like, we should do this, and the other's like, oh no, we should do this other thing. But everybody should make and be in agreement that this is happening, we need to deal with this. What is the way to do it? That's where the disagreement should
I think
be.
You are right that it is in line with everyone's values, really.
Absolutely.
There's probably you can probably find someone who's like, no, I think we should all die. But like, but, I think in 99% of people, it's like
most people,
the earth is important.
Yeah, like everybody breathes air.
Yeah.
Like, it couldn't be any simpler. It's like, we all have to breathe this stuff. It's not like you know, okay, maybe in the countryside it's like you don't notice it quite as much, but it's, you know.
It's just, the world has become so mental that you don't think of it as being the world. do you know what I mean? You know how it's just so mental? Like, we're doing a podcast and, like, it's recorded.
Yeah.
And we're in London and you can just, like, what? All of these computers. And it's like, that's a thing that people make and it's all mental. Like, it is.
Joel's just realised. Just realised
we're
that,
in
like,
the Matrix.
The Industrial Revolution
happened.
It's like, you know, they've got this printing press now.
This is the cause of all our problems. Get rid of it all.
I know, it sounds like I've just like smoked some sweet weed outside. But it's, you know, it's, you just don't think of it as like a world that you need to care about.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's so insane. It's so fast. It's so,
so fast, yeah.
It's so unbelievably like complicated.
And fast. You're right, yeah.
So you don't think nature is like, nobody thinks about nature because it's this fucking, it's mental.
Yeah.
It's mental.
You're not often tangibly interacting with nature.
Yeah. It's just like, if you had to like row a boat to work every day, you'd probably think about it like more of like, oh, there's pollution in this river, I should do something about this. But it's it's just so insane that I think it's just not a,
it's such a hard, for so many reasons, such a hard problem. But yes, absolutely one of them.
Is there an argument for we just go, it's too late, and we just focus on AI so that when we're done, intelligence continues?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what we'll do is like write them a Bible.
Yeah.
And then they'll kill each other about that.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, no, the humans, because we'll be their gods.
Terminator versus Matrix.
Matrix.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, I think
at the very least, we've got a film picture.
Yeah. We've got something we can pitch to someone.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's, what's going to happen, it's like, it's all like, oh, the carbon emission thing, and it's also like global warming and everything's mad, but like I feel like technology is so fast moving that something is also going to happen there in terms of the fusing of the both of them. So I don't know.
My issue with that is that like people think that that's just going to be the solution to everything, rather than just being like, oh, we could just not drive our cars so much, rather than being like, we should all move to Mars as like a response to it.
Yes.
That it's like, it's almost lose. Like, I agree that like technology clearly has a role to play in solving all of these issues, but you could probably solve it a lot quicker by just...
It's like the same argument where you're like, oh, I use it a lot of the time with tattoos. I'll go, oh, I want to get a new tattoo, and I don't really care too much what it is because technology now, you can just get it lasered off. Like, eventually, like lasering technology now is so good that you can kind of just go in and get it lasered off. Or you could just not get that tattoo in the first place.
It's kind of the same thing. Yeah. You're like, someone will fix it for you. Yeah. Rather than just being like...
Do you think that, like, because I listened to a podcast the other day about... they were talking about fossil fuels, and they were saying how the kind of general consensus appears to be... This is what I got for the podcast, so I hope I'm not misrepresenting the facts. But they were saying that... there's like camps that are like hydro is the way forward, or there's a camp that's saying, you know, whatever. And they were saying like the kind of general consensus seems to be it's a mixture. Like there's no one answer.
No.
It's like nuclear, hydro, you know,
everything,
solar.
Absolutely.
And like there's some kind of amalgamation of those things that will help.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so where we can rely on technology, it's like you need a mix of stuff as well. Because then you're not reliant on one thing.
Yeah.
So you're like, and also it means that people can play to their strengths. So like, we've got so much wind around the UK that it makes sense to be like, okay, well, we'll use wind power.
Yeah,
and like,
where
it's really sunny, be like, okay, we're in Peru, let's use solar power.
Or
you
like,
know what I mean? It just makes sense to do that rather than being like, let's have this one thing that doesn't work in the UK. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, because like in, you know, Iguazu Falls in
South
America, it powers like the whole of Paraguay and like a lot of Brazil.
Yeah, that's
just like because there's a dam there, and it's like just such a powerful waterfall.
One of the interesting things was, again, because things get so complicated, like in Brazil, the amount that they can rely on water because of the increased temperatures from climate change means that they can't rely as much as they previously have on hydropower going forward. So then they need to, like, so they've historically had so much hydropower because of the rivers and the falls and stuff.
Yeah.
But now, because it's heating up more, you're going to get more droughts. It's not going to be as much water, so you can't rely on that. So then you need other. So, you know, it's just like everything's so complicated and interlinked that.
That's mad. It's really annoying that the water that we need to power hydroelectricity and to drink, that's the stuff that's going to disappear.
Yeah.
But the water that's no use to us is what we're going to have more of.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't need more sea.
Yeah, we're good for sea. Yeah, and we're going to get loads of that coming soon. Yeah. So most of the Arctic. Yeah, bring that into the system. We'll mix it up with the seawater.
Eventually we're all just going to be a Loch Ness with paper straws. Just
Nessie will just be at the bottom and be like, what?
Oh, what? Once we've all drunk all the water.
Yeah.
Oh, there is Nessie.
It's just going to be loads of people around.
It's going to be dead with loads of plastic straws all over.
Yeah, stuck in like a ring.
That's how she dies.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for coming on, guys.
Pleasure. Thank you for having us.
So much appreciated.
Genuinely great podcast.
Mm. Yeah, cheers. You've got your own podcast.
We have a podcast. Please listen to it. Yeah. Teenage Mixtape.
Thanks, man, for having us.
Cheers,
wonderful.
Guys. Thanks
a lot.
Thank
you.
So, that was me chatting to Steve Dunn and Joel Dommett, two very funny men. I could have just kept talking to them for hours and hours. And... yeah, you can check out, Joel has a book out called It's Not Me, It's Them, and you can check out their podcast together, Teenage Mixtape Pod, and just generally have a follow of them on social media and all that sort of stuff. Good guys. So, what else is there to say? But I have my own comedy show coming up around the UK and the Edinburgh Festival called It's the End of the World as We Know It, at the Pleasance Below at 4:25 p.m. August 2019. And please do subscribe, rate this podcast, spread the message. It's really, really helpful, especially because we're fairly new. And I think that's pretty much it. This podcast was produced and edited by Emma Corsham. The music was all done by the man called Daniel Drever, and all of the logo and animations and stuff were done by Chum Chi Design. Please subscribe and come back next time. Bye.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.